This is you, baby. This is you.
No, no, no.
You must show us some respect.
It's a seesaw battle. Neither offense can move. Colts driving now with the ball. Armadillo's better stop him. Now, how could the ref call that? It was a clean kick to the face mask.
Guy's going in.
Illegal contact. Number 51. Senkutsu elbow thrust. To the upback, Oimowatsu roundhouse lunge kick to the quarterback, Takatami Ansor block to the... Never mind. 15 yards, first down!
Now back to Heat Wave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Barr.
Hour 2 of 3, Super Sunday Night, Heat Wave Sports, Fox Sports Radio. Tom, before we jump into this last wild card game... Ari was giving the update. He was talking about the NBA. Is it possible we can go the whole year without discussing the NBA at all?
I think everybody can. I mean, it is a terrible product. I think we could all agree on that. There's almost no argument to it any longer. It is a bad product. It is a bad situation for the league that it's such a bad product. Mm-hmm. It's been blasted by people that are NBA fans, that are analysts, that are owners, how bad the product has become. And it's a year where, Tim, we'll start talking about it right about playoff time, and that's what the NBA has become. No one cares about the regular season. It's an impossible product to watch. It's like watching paint dry for three quarters, right? Yeah. It's not an NBA game. Do you even need to watch it before the fourth quarter?
No.
There's no reason to.
No.
There's no reason to.
You could have a 30-point lead and it dissolves, over time. There's nothing. And despite what our followers show us and despite what our friends tell us and despite what people randomly say about our show, I know we don't have any listeners. I don't think we lose any listeners, Tom, not talking about the NBA.
No, definitely not. And it's funny because look at the product itself. We get a lot of flack, especially in Las Vegas now that everybody seemingly is all of a sudden a hockey fan. And we don't talk hockey. Now, I've talked hockey my entire life. We just don't have the call to talk hockey, right? Mm-hmm. And I've said it before. What are we going to add to a Vegas Knights conversation that the great Frank hasn't already done on this network, before that? So
right.
When we're talking about hockey, we don't talk about it for actual real business reasons, okay? We're not talking about basketball because it's boring. It's a bad product right now.
Yeah.
Will we get into it in the playoffs? Sure. Am I making money at TomBartonSports.com on it? I actually am. I picked the Brooklyn Nets before the year to make the playoffs at +3-1. They won 12 or 15. I mean, I follow the NBA. But it's a bad product, and it's a bad sports talk radio topic. I mean, if you're talking about the NBA on a weekend like today, Tim, then you have no right and no business being at sports talk radio.
100% agree.
I'll tell you. not that I think... great. Not that I even think he's necessarily good, but he's ratings-wise the best in the world. Somebody called up Mike Francesa this week here in New York in the middle of all that's going on, and they said, "Hey, what about the Brooklyn Nets? They've won this." I swear to God, you can look this up. You can find it on Google. Sure. Hey, what about the Brooklyn Nets? They won 10 or 12 or whatever it was at the time. I think 11 or 13. Do you think they can continue this run? Which is a legitimate question. I mean, it's the New York market. It's the Brooklyn Nets. They're on a roll like nobody's ever seen. This is fantastic. And Mike's response was, if I'm talking about the New York Nets at this time of year and on a day like today, I want to shoot myself. I'd be out of the business. And that's what it is. I mean, if you're a sports talk host and you're talking about the NBA this time of year, it's because you have no ability to talk about anything else. So, yeah, there's the NBA rant for you. We talked more NBA about not talking about the NBA than we probably will for the rest of the year.
Yeah, there you go. So now we've done our due diligence.
Fill that quota.
Okay, so last night, when we went off the air, this game was a tough one. Could go either way, right? I felt that my boys would pull it out. You were leaning the other way until basically what happened didn't happen, and that was the play of Lamar Jackson. He had to, you know, rookie quarterback in his first playoff game. Could he get it done? You wanted to see if he could do it. He didn't. And when we looked at this game, if you break it down, right, Tom, this played into the Ravens' hands as far as the way the game could have gone. Phillip Rivers, again, we talked about Phillip Rivers slowing down here in the last half of the season. He was not effective at all today, right? 160 yards passing, no touchdowns, no picks. He was able to not make the turnovers happen, and he was able to stay on his feet as the Baltimore defense only got to him one time. The Raven D, Gordon, just 40 yards on the ground. They ran for their starting running backs ran for just 69. You know, Allen, nothing spectacular. They did pretty much, the defense did what they had to do to keep the Ravens in this game, limiting the Chargers to the 5 field goals before they were able to score in the fourth. The problem here was exactly what we thought it was going to be, Tom, and it was the downfall for the team, was that Lamar Jackson was ineffective until it was too late.
Yeah, and you know, again, hate to say I told you so, but I said it last night. You know, Lamar Jackson's going to be the downfall here. This played out exactly how we said it would in the middle of the year. I say, listen, if John Harbaugh wants to go out there and save his job and get to the playoffs, he starts Lamar Jackson. If John Harbaugh wants to win a playoff game, he starts Joe Flacco. And I think if they started Joe Flacco today, I think they win that game. I know that's the unpopular belief, but I think they win that game. Lamar Jackson in college, guys, was a bad passer. I am an ACC fan. I watch a lot of ACC action. He couldn't throw the ball in an offense with what many people would call an offensive genius as a head coach, in an offense designed around the quarterback, in an offense where me and you could throw for 300 yards a game. He couldn't throw the ball. His accuracy level is pathetic. Now, I've said the same thing about Cam Newton, and I watched Cam Newton throughout his career. Cam Newton's won an MVP. Cam Newton's gotten to a Super Bowl. I'm not telling you that Lamar Jackson can't be successful, but he's not ready, number one. And I don't know if he ever will be, because he cannot throw the ball. You can teach a lot as a quarterback. You can't teach accuracy. Mm-hmm. It's the one thing you can't do. You can't teach accuracy, because a lot of accuracy has to do with timing and explaining where the guy's going to be. Rather than you're throwing it to a spot rather than just throwing it up there. And the other problem, this is a fixable problem, the other problem is he's reckless with the ball. I mean, the fumbling issues are maddening to him, maddening. But what you had today was a quarterback going into the fourth quarter that threw for 26 yards. I like old school football, Tim. That's old school football, right? I don't even know if that's getting it done in Harvard, Yale, 1901. You know, I 26 yards. He had 3 completions. It was pathetic, and they were holding in there. This Baltimore defense is great, but you cannot win with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's not a quarterback in this day and age. I want to hit on something else, Tim. It is one of my biggest annoyances in sports right now. And it is a touchy subject. I know that you don't like to go on, so I will explain it for both of us. When people are criticizing Lamar Jackson, what's happening is race is coming into the equation. Race comes into the equation of, well, they don't like black quarterbacks because they're running quarterbacks, or they don't like... It has nothing to do with that. I watched 2 analysts get torn apart on Twitter today. 2 prominent analysts, because they were saying things of, well, you know what, he doesn't look downfield enough. This is not a black and white thing, guys. They said the same things about Tim Tebow. This is not a black and white thing. This is an idea of, I don't believe, and I'm agreeing with people that were ripped apart, that Lamar Jackson can make it in this league because he thinks to run first. I've said that about a lot of people in this league. Do I think Lamar Jackson can win games next year? I do. Do I believe that Lamar Jackson can maybe make the playoffs? I do. But I think run-first mentality, he's going to have, number one, a short career, because he's going to just get beaten up too much. And number two, it doesn't work long-term. And what I watched today, a guy throwing for 26 yards and three or four completions going into the fourth quarter, is mind-boggling how somebody can look at that game and think that Lamar Jackson is where he needs to be as a quarterback. There's a lot of work to be done, And I know that, you know, you're happy with Lamar Jackson and you're happy with the future. Tim, I worry. I worry for Baltimore long term, because I don't think that Lamar Jackson can all of a sudden turn into a good passer. And I think he's got to take them where they need to go.
I'm happy that they discovered what they did so far. I'll just say that. I'm happy so far because the backup plan was non-existent before the season. But I'll say this about what I saw from Lamar Jackson is exactly what you said, and I agree. In college, I always thought that he wasn't the best passer, right? We agreed with that, but we all know the college game is different. On TV, the first few games he played, I was like, okay, he's a rookie. He's working his kinks out. But when I actually went to the game in L.A. when they played the Chargers a couple weeks back, I remember sitting there. I ended up sitting next to some Raven fans, and I remember the guy sitting next to me, obviously a big time fan. He's like, he's effing terrible. He can't throw the football. And we were sitting there. I turned to him. I go, you're absolutely right. He's horrible. He made some big throws later in the game that got him in the position to win the game. But just, through the game, I'm watching it, and I don't know if it's something in the delivery. I'm not sure what it is. But there are times that you think to yourself, how is he a starting quarterback in the NFL? And that's just the situation that the Ravens were put into. I think today, and, last night, Tom, I brought up the Gus Bradley effect after you had said this was the chance the Chargers were going to be the first team to get a second look at this. And I brought up the Gus Bradley effect of what he would do differently. Well, we saw what he did. He went with seven DBs here in most of the game. And they were able to get pressure that they didn't get the first time around. They got to him seven times, Tom. And I think that had a lot to do with it. The situation, though, was that San Diego didn't outplay Baltimore because they didn't cash in when they had the opportunities to. They had to settle for field goals. They let Baltimore stick around. At the end of the game, when it became in the fourth quarter, it was like Lamar Jackson was a completely different quarterback. So as a Raven fan, I think you have to look at it as whoever's going to be the tutor, they're going to have to figure out real quickly, Tom, if this guy is fixable. Because if not, you're right. You're looking at a situation where he's going to be a poor man's Cam Newton.
And that's very poor man. Yeah. The one thing about Cam Newton, the reason why Cam Newton has been able to have the success that he's had with the terrible passing percentages, because he's a huge guy. I mean, that's the difference that we're talking about. He's a big dude. Robert Griffin was effectively a comet, right? I mean, he was first year amazing. Oh my God, this is the new way we're going to play football. Oh my God, this is amazing. This is unbelievable. Oh my goodness, look at what he can do. Got hurt, got beaten up, small, frail body. Michael Vick was never able to throw the ball. He had a cannon of an arm, but he had never had accuracy. What happened to Michael Vick's career, besides being an ass with the dog thing? He got beat up, hurt. Cam Newton has stayed relatively healthy, and Cam Newton gets those extra yards, and Cam Newton does things because of his size, his sheer, pure size. Lamar Jackson's a small dude, which is what I'm saying. He might have, a couple of things in him that he's able to win games, but this is a short-lived experiment. I don't see Lamar Jackson, sitting here being the answer to your franchise, partially because the guy can't throw the ball, partially because he runs first, but partially because I think he's going to get killed if he keeps this style up. You can't run a quarterback 20 times a game, Tim.
No. He's been a leading rusher today. You saw that. They had 40 yards between their two starting running backs. And the recipe was, right, Tom, play great defense and run the ball and eat the clock up. They couldn't run the ball. That was the problem early on. And the defense, like I said, I have no problems with the way the defense played today. And even the way that Jackson, they got the ball back at the end. They got to, midfield, where he fumbled and the game was over. When they had the ball as a fan, I was like, it's not going to happen here. There's no way they're going to get in the end zone. just I had a bad feeling on it, and that's what happened.
It, you know, Lamar Jackson is a guy that if he had, and here's also the idea that you have to remember if you're a Ravens fan. I know you know this all too well. If Lamar Jackson had a competent receiving core, maybe we have a different conversation today. If Lamar Jackson had a competent running back core, maybe we have a different conversation. Say what you want about Dixon. He's got some promise. Him on every other team in the NFL, second or third on the depth chart. Mm-hmm. Okay? Say what you want about Edwards. I've liked what Edwards has done the last, you know, 2 months or so. On every other team in the NFL, any other playoff team, you know, he's a backup or a third stringer. Michael Crabtree, he's a third receiving option, maybe fourth. Their receiving core, you could argue, is one of the worst in the league. I would argue might be the worst in the league. So Lamar Jackson, yeah, we could hump a ton, throw a ton of negativity, and he looked awful out there for a lot of this game today. But let's also remember, he's playing in an offense without their star tight end, who they've never had a star tight end. Imagine giving Lamar Jackson Zach Ertz or Travis Kelce or George Kittle, right? Give him a top tight end. They don't have that. Imagine giving Lamar Jackson a competent receiving core. I'm not even talking about, you know, he doesn't need Brown and Juju. Give him a competent receiving core. He doesn't have that. Give him a dynamic playmaking running back. Again, I'm not telling you to go get him Shaq Barkley, right? Go get him Nick Chubb. How would Nick Chubb look on this team? So, a lot of problems with Jackson, and he does have a lot. But he's surrounded by garbage, too. I mean, this offense is, skill position-wise, one of the weakest in the league. I mean, you can really argue they are bottom five in the league at skill position-wise at every single skill position offensively. So, Baltimore, you asked me, Tim, so I'll throw it at you, even though I kind of set you up for it here. If you're the Ravens, what are you going to get next year? Who's your target to go get?
It's the same thing every year, isn't it, Tom? We need a wide receiver, a number one, wide receiver number one. I 100% agree with the tight end situation, but I think for Jackson, granted, we don't have an Ertz or a Kelce. You know, the books on Hayden Hurst is still open. We need to see what he was banged up. We need to see what's available there. Max Williams, another guy. They have targets that I think they can make him feel comfortable with, but when you only go to him, you target him one time a game, that's not acceptable. So in my mind, as much as I was okay with getting this this just basically a potpourri of wide receivers this year, they went out and picked up Crabtree, John Brown, Willie Steen, you know, guys that were cast off from other places. You do need a dominant guy there. And as far as the running backs go, I like Edwards a lot. You know, Alex Collins ends up getting hurt earlier in the year. The book's open there. I'm not saying if Le'Veon Bell is available. Of course, Tom, you know, you go with something that's proven. But I would say we go wide receiver. Again, that has to be a look there. And you just keep shoring your defense up and trying to integrate younger players into what's just become a revolving door. These guys play their way out, and there's somebody that's able to step in. If it wasn't for the defense and if it wasn't for John Harbaugh, you know, we're talking about division champion this year, Tom. That was not we didn't predict that. That's what happened, and they went 6-1 down the stretch to do it, and Pittsburgh, of course, helped them out by fading. But if it wasn't for Harbaugh and it wasn't for that defense, it's a non-playoff year. We already know that.
All right, so let's have some fun here, Tim, okay? Let's have a little fun. You know, Michael Crabtree owes $4.7 million next year, okay? Do you re-sign him?
Probably not.
Okay. Yeah. He's probably gone. You're looking at Joe Flacco is going to be gone, right?
Right.
I mean, there's no way.
and I want to touch on Flacco when we're done with this, actually.
Yeah, yeah. No problem. So those two guys are off the books for sure, at least specifically offensively, okay? You look at Flacco's going to get traded. You're going to be able to get a piece for him. Not a big piece, but you'll be able to get a piece. You don't have any high draft pick, so you can only get a piece there. You pretty much can only really go out with your cap situation and sign one big guy. Yeah, obviously Le'Veon would be the guy. You would love to trade for Antonio Brown. Let's say that the unrealistic doesn't happen. Okay, that those two things are not going to happen.
No.
Would you do something where you give up that first round pick? What if I asked you? Now, again, I'm not a huge fan of the guy. What if I asked you to give up that first round pick and Joe Flacco for Leonard Fournette? Because I hear Fournette's on the trading block.
I don't even have to think about it. I would do it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So now you can get creative. I mean, Fournette might not be the answer, but, yeah, that's the kind of player they need. I don't think that they could go into the offseason or into next season without a dynamic player. I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, decent or okay. No, a dynamic player. And I think with Flacco being kind of dangled and everyone knowing about the Jacksonville situation, and Jacksonville not arguing that, well, Leonard Fournette's probably going to be gone, I think it's a match made in heaven.
Yeah, and it's a situation where, obviously, we're not getting any Steelers. You don't trade in your division. We already know how that works out. So yeah, I think, look, the whole thing's changing, right? Newsom's leaving. DaCosta's coming in. And I know he was under him for many, many years, but he's going to want to do his own thing, right? He's not going to be a Newsom clone, per se. So going out and saying we're going to give that first-round pickup is something the Ravens generally don't do. You have to look at, as the times change, is this team going to change as well? And just looking at the quick list of the free agents that are coming out, there isn't a big name on there, Tommy. You know, there isn't that guy there other than Bell that steps out to me. So they're going to have to make that big name come through a trade, because if they can get the star running back, obviously the receivers – it's different. You can have a potpourri of guys there because they're opening that running attack up. It's harder if you grab the number one receiver, but you don't have a running back to offset that, because now you're going double, triple teams.
So you have the list in front of you.
Yeah.
Is there a guy that jumps off the board, or do you have to make that trade? Do you have to get creative? Do you have to trade away draft picks? Or is there somebody that you believe that they could get? Remember, you're competing against the Indianapolis Colts, who have $100 million in free cap space. Mm-hmm. The New York Jets, who have $110 million in free cap space. So you're only going to be able to get a guy maybe for about $30 million or so. Who is the guy?
There's not at least at the list I'm looking at, there's not a superstar on there other than Le'Veon Bell, who's got the franchise tag, right, which was gone when he didn't play. So unless this list needs to be updated, I don't see a superstar per se that's on there. I see a lot of good seconds. Some role issues here, but as far as a superstar, no, I don't see that. You're going to have to trade for one.
And that's my point with Lamar Jackson and his progression. I think you need superstars. I think you need to surround him with at least one superstar talent for him to grow. If the Baltimore Ravens go into next year with Michael Crabtree being their number one receiver and Alex Collins and you know, who I like, but Alex Collins and Edwards in the backfield, I think we're going to see Lamar Jackson struggle mightily, mightily next year. Now there's tape on him. Now I think that the Ravens have to do un-Raven-like things. And you alluded to it. They don't trade away their first. I think they have to.
Yeah.
I think they got to swallow their pride and say, you know what? We need more than what we could go get in the draft. They got to make some moves. Talk to me about Joe Flacco, Tim. It's maybe the end of an era.
Yeah.
It's definitely an end of an era in Baltimore. Maybe he walks away completely. Maybe they trade him. Talk to me about how it felt to watch him sit on the bench. And I'm not sure if you heard this or not, but the fans were chanting, "We want Joe, we want Joe." Did you hear about this?
Yeah, yeah. And Jimmy Smith, the cornerback, went over to some guy. I guess he was doing a little more than saying that. He was being very descriptive about it, and he just went off on him, I think. But
more than one defensive player was reported saying, "Yeah, but we don't want Joe."
Yeah. That's sad.
Talk to me about Flacco. Yeah, that's what I mean. You're a fan. Talk to me about the demise of Flacco here and how you feel about this whole thing.
I don't, you know, and it may not have been a personal thing. I think it's more of like these guys are like, look, this is the direction we're going. So I don't know why you had to say anything, basically. You know, Lamar Jackson's not taking it personally. He's in a situation where he knows that he's the guy now. And I think that was established once they went on that winning streak. Started that winning streak, it was established that was the way it was going to be. And it was tough for me, being a fan, watching every game, right? Tom, you have the package too. I watch all the games, but I'm watching my team every week. And him sitting there, you could tell, just you can read, looking at, you know, the guy sitting on the bench, you can read the emotions on his face. It's something he wasn't comfortable with because it's something he didn't have to do. But I think he, today, perfect example, too. They tried to put him on the spot in an interview after the game, and he said the right things, Tom, because he's a class act. Let's just put it that way. He brought that city of Baltimore and that franchise another championship. He's always going to be well-loved in the city of Baltimore. And like you said, you saw that when the fans were chanting, "We want Joe," in the game. I don't know if it was a matter of fact that they disliked Lamar Jackson. They just wanted to see something change. And this was the point I was going to make with it, is that you tweeted it out. You text me. I have probably 7 or 8 texts from, "Do they go to Flacco here?" And as much as I wanted to be the fan to say, "Yeah, let's do it," and have a storybook ending, I knew it wasn't going to happen, Tom. You just generally don't see things like that happen in the playoffs. And it was a situation where, just like his teammates, we were riding with Lamar Jackson, win or lose, and that's the future of the franchise for now. I can't say anything bad about Joe Flacco. I don't think he plays again, Tom. That's the feeling I'm getting. Yeah. He's got a huge contract.
I think he's in the playoffs next year with Jacksonville.
I wouldn't mind seeing that, though. I don't have a problem with the Jaguars.
I think a first-round matchup, Lamar Jackson and Joe Flacco.
Well, you know how that's going to end, so it's just the way it would end. I don't know. You know, maybe an off-season with him thinking about it. Just the body language I've gotten from him in the interviews I've watched over the past couple weeks, he looks disinterested. And maybe it's just the situation he's in. But
let's talk about Flacco, man. He's going, "I won 2 Super Bowls. I've given my heart and soul to this organization. I can still sling it all over the field. I'm watching this loser throw 4 completions before freaking the fourth quarter, 25 yards, and I'm sitting on the damn sideline." You know, I mean, are you kidding me? I don't care how good of a guy you are, and you're right. He said all the right things. I don't care how good of a guy you are, Tim. That's got to eat at you afterwards. That's got to eat at you so bad to watch somebody that is not nearly up to your par, not nearly up to your ability, not nearly up to what you've done. They have no resume. They have no experience to draw on. They have no their skill level is not even close to yours. To watch them get the start over you, it's got to be infuriating.
Well, no doubt. And a competitive person, absolutely. Absolutely. I've been the man here, right? I've done what I've done. I 100% agree. He got hurt. That's what happened. He got hurt. And they didn't lose. So what do you do in that situation, right, Tom? You're on a run. You're 6-1 your last 7. You win the division. There was no doubt Lamar Jackson was starting this game. There was no way in hell Joe Flacco was starting this game. And I think he saw the writing on the wall as well when they went on the winning streak. They were 4-5. When Flacco got hurt going into after that bye week, that was it. There was no comeback on that. And I think when they drafted him, it was a surprise to me. It was a surprise to you when they drafted him. You saw the kind of the beginning of the writing on the wall in the fact that when you look at the contract that Joe Flacco carries, that he eventually was going to be a cap casualty. I just think that it was set in stone at that point.
Well, let me also say this, Tim. I think that the Ravens are out of the playoffs because of a business decision. Because I believe that deep down, John Harbaugh wanted to go to Flacco at the half, but he knew if he went to him at the half and they won the game, he would just start that slippery slope, and he would start a quarterback controversy, and then it would be harder to get rid of Joe. Because I think they win the game if Flacco is in there. I think if they would have switched it off with what they knew, and the progressions and the reads and the success that Jackson had in the fourth quarter, that would have been Flacco. And if Flacco would have won that game, it would have made it that much harder to get rid of him and to go back to Jackson. Mm-hmm. I think the Ravens are out of the playoffs because of a business decision today.
I don't disagree with that. I think that's very valid. Steve Biscotti loves Lamar Jackson. Steve Biscotti probably at some point in the year said this is the direction we need to go. Harbaugh, you want to go business decision. I know Harbaugh can get plenty of money, Tom, on the open market. I think Harbaugh wants to stay in Baltimore as well, and it just kind of it works out that way, right? I think we see an extension coming here for John, and we begin the new future of the Ravens. Flacco's the one that basically is getting hung out to dry, like we see a lot of veteran quarterbacks over the year. You know, he's going to be, what, 35? He's had some some bad knee injuries over the last couple of years, so he's probably playing a little bit older in that body. And you know, he's going to make $26 million next year, Tom. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, that cap money could be used to go get, what do we say? Oh yeah, skill position player.
Right. It wouldn't surprise me, though, to see him somewhere else. I think Joe, though, for whatever reason, I don't think Joe hangs on just to hang on. I think he wants to go somewhere where he still has an opportunity to be effective. So a situation maybe like the Jets wouldn't work for me. And I don't even, you know, I think Jacksonville just had a bad season again. I think they're, you know, in my mind, when I look at the Jaguars, I think they can make up some ground next year. And we both talked about Washington possibly being a spot for Joe Flacco.
Washington, maybe. Jacksonville just seems like the obvious, but you're right. There's a lot of teams. You know, Washington makes a lot of sense, too, because he's right from the area. He's established there. He knows how to play in that weather. I think Miami is a really good landing spot for him. I'm hearing Vic Fangio, the Bears defensive coordinator, is kind of the guy in Miami. Well, you know what? When you're a new defensive head coach, which most of these guys are going offense, you go a new defensive head coach, you don't want to walk in with a young quarterback. You get Flacco, he's kind of an on-the-field guy. Miami, Washington, Jacksonville, all possible landing spots. But, you know, I don't think it should be a situation where Joe Flacco hangs him up. I really don't. I think he's going to be playing next year, and I think he's going to be successful next year. He may not make the Pro Bowl, and he may not make the playoffs, but I think he's a successful quarterback again.
But he's never really been that Pro Bowl guy, right, Tom? He's just been a winner.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
The problem is they're going to have to do it via a trade here, and they're going to have to eat some of that money, but it's better than cutting him and eating $16 million of it, which is the dead cap number. So there's going to be some creative financing going on here. But I think we saw a couple weeks back that when the writing was pretty much on the wall, management in Baltimore did say they would facilitate any deal that Joe Flacco wanted. So it's obviously other than probably in division.
So let's throw it around here. Okay, we got a couple of minutes, and then I know we got to go on to next week's game. But let's throw it around here. Where does Joe want? Where would you pick? Are you picking Miami? Are you picking Tampa? Maybe if they get rid of Winston? Are you picking Jacksonville? Are you picking Washington?
If I'm Joe Flacco, where do I want to go? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Probably Washington.
They said they'll facilitate it for you. Mm-hmm. Where do you want to go?
Probably Washington. I think it's close to home. He's from up north. I think it's a situation where I don't know. You know, I think every athlete has that desire to want to prove their old team wrong. I don't know if he carries a grudge like that per se. So it's you know, as much as we can make it an ugly split, Tom, I don't think it's going to be an ugly split. So I think the best option for him might be, like you said, Miami or Jacksonville. But I can definitely see him ending up in Washington and not having to deal with it. He, you know, he's loved in that market. So it might be a good fit for him there as well. I just don't know what they're going to have around him to make it successful for him.
I'm saying Jacksonville only because I think they're so close. I think if you walk in there and you're even a half-decent quarterback, mm-hmm. you can make the playoffs.
Yeah. He definitely has weapons there. Miami, too. I think Miami has we know the weapons that Miami has, and it's unfortunate that the way it worked out for Tannehill and Gase, but they still have weapons there.
Unless Fournette's playing for you guys.
Well, yeah, of course. All right, Tom, this time out. We'll come back, preview the Chargers-Patriots next week. I know you got a lot to say about that. I hear there's already going to be a coaching hire in the NFL soon, and it involves one of those teams we just talked about, Tom, so we'll talk about that as well as we move on. Halfway through a Super Sunday night, it's Heat Wave Sports. It's Fox Sports Radio.
Now back to Heatwave Sports with Tim Oglesby and Tom Barton.
One more game to look at for next weekend. This will also be on Sunday. So Sunday you get Eagles-Saints. And Tom, you're going to get the Chargers in New England to take on the Pats. Game opened at 4.5. I still see 4.5.
Little shocked at this line, Tim. I'm a little shocked at this line because this is in New England, right? This is in New England, in prime time, basically, in New England, right? The highlight game in New England. Brady has a week off. Brady, with all of this playoff success, is only, and let me just explain this, is only getting 1.5 points more than Lamar Jackson was to Phillip Rivers. Think about that statement, ladies and gentlemen. Tom Brady at home in the playoffs, in the highlight game of the weekend, is giving only 1.5 points more than Lamar Jackson did in the same spot. I'm shocked at this line, Tim. Is it just because people believe the Patriot dynasty is over? I mean, it's not because all of a sudden everybody has low for San Diego, for the Chargers here, for L.A., because that line went all the way up to 3 today. People were betting, the Ravens, okay? They were loving the Ravens. So it's not because all of a sudden there's Charger love. Why is this line where it is?
I'm shocked as well. And the way you put it, using the Lamar Jackson as the as your comparison, that really puts it into perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. What off the top of your head, why? Because it's the Chargers?
Because people like to bet against Tom Brady. People think the dynasty is over. And people think that he's just due for a fall.
If the Chargers came into this game, and granted, they finished 12-4, right, Tom? They went, gave Kansas City a nice run for that division. But I think we looked at the key factors here. Rivers has not been as good as he was in the first half. Gordon's been banged up and ineffective. What makes this any different? Now they're going and they're going to play. It's going to be freezing where they're playing. I mean, unless I'm wrong and they just go out and shred the Patriot defense, something tells me this is going to be a standard, what we are used to seeing every year, New England win in the playoffs.
Look, I like this Charger team. And there were points this year where I said, I can see them going to the Super Bowl. I can. Every year I pick out a team or two that does things that could frustrate the Patriots. And what could frustrate the Patriots are a great pass rush, which the Chargers have until Joey Bosa and Ingram, okay? That frustrates the Patriots. I like what the Chargers do. Do I think that they can win? Yes. But, Tim, maybe I'm a stubborn old man. But I still believe going to the East Coast 2 consecutive weeks is hard to do in the NFL. I still believe winning on the road is hard to do in the NFL. And I still believe the numbers that I know. Phillip Rivers is 0-7 lifetime against Tom Brady. 0-7. He's never beat Brady. Brady at home is, I don't even think it's potentially, is the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. Brady at home in the playoffs is hands down the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. Tom Brady just in the playoffs alone is the best quarterback we've ever seen. I know this is more about Brady. I get it. And the Chargers have everything that you can want from this team. But I just can't imagine they lose. Maybe they lose by 3. Maybe they lose by 1, right? Maybe that's why the spread is where it is. But I can't imagine that this spread would be so low after what we've witnessed. And you want to talk about Phillip Rivers. Rivers got a big first down today. He was fun, but Tim, we talked about last night. Coming into the game, the last month, he was 6 interceptions, 6 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. How did he do today? He didn't improve those stats, did he?
0-0.
Yeah. So I'm watching a quarterback that is not playing his top level, a running back in Melvin Gordon who had to leave the game because of an injury today. You're banking on a whole lot of Joey Bosa. Then that's it. I mean, you're banking on that defense. And I don't think that this Charger defense is the Bears or the Ravens, this shutdown style. I think they're very good, but they're not that shutdown style.
How about I give the I'm a Patriot fan, Homer excuse, but it has a lot of credibility to it when you look over the years. How about everything you said, plus Belichick, Brady, week off, preparation, Gronk, Amendola, Brady, week off to heal. We're in Foxborough. We're cold. We're snow. Whatever the case may be. And we just don't lose at home. How about all? I'll wrap it all up, everything you said, and I'll throw in a couple. I like it. I like the points.
Yeah, I think you have to. I get it. I think you have to with the matchup. I get it, but you can't think that Brady loses, though.
No. No. I think this is the worst. This was a worse situation for them, in that if it was they were playing Kansas City, I would, you know, once again, you talk about defenses and offenses, right? I think the Patriots are a bad matchup in this situation for Phillip Rivers. I thought the Ravens were a bad matchup for Phillip Rivers. He doesn't get lucky 2 weeks in a row.
You know, if we're sitting here next Sunday night and, you know, Brady goes down and we have all the idiots saying, well, it's because he got old and
right.
The dynasty's over, it's, I'm not going to be surprised. I'm not going to be surprised. I'll say, listen, this Charger team had the second best record in the AFC for a reason. You know, it would take a guy like Rivers, an experienced quarterback, to go in there and to win that game. I wouldn't be shocked, but I'd be way more, adept to saying, yeah, well, Patriots won again. They won at home. Late field goal, beat Rivers, right? I mean, that's the show I think we're going to have next week.
If it was the Colts playing the Pats, how would you feel?
I don't think anyone could go into New England until I see them go into New England.
Right.
I think the Colts have a better chance. I think the Colts are playing better football right now, overall. I think the Colts have some... You want to talk about magic or whatever? I think the Colts have a little bit of that going on. But I don't think anybody can walk into New England until I see it. Now, remember, I didn't pick New England to go to the Super Bowl this year,
right?
Because I believe that a defense with pass rushers can get them. So this lines up to what I had, but I didn't have them losing in New England either.
But I did pick them to go to the Super Bowl again, Tom. So this is important here. If New England wins and the Colts come to play and knock out Kansas City, that game's being played in Foxborough for the title.
That's the key. You know, them winning home field advantage, first round bye, was able to, we talked about it, is able to turn around. You take a guy like Tom Brady, you get him in a little extra week, they get healthy, he's able to kind of rest up. That bye week is so enormous and so massive. And now, you're right, if this game was played at a neutral location, I'd probably take the Chargers, right? Mm-hmm. Keep on San Diego. I'd probably take the Chargers. But I can't do it in New England. Next week, the Colts have to come to the Patriots. Probably take New England. And we're probably looking at a Super Bowl where New England is going into the Super Bowl, and it's hard to bet against them there, too. I mean, look, there's a million reasons, but there's been a million reasons for a million years. It seems like every year Tom Brady is in this situation and Bill Belichick is in this situation, we find reasons. Oh, well, look, they don't even have a wide receiver. They're using a cornerback there. Wait, they have no, receivers. They're using, small little slot guys crossing across the middle. Oh, they don't have anything. Look, they don't even have a running back. They're using James White. I mean, there's always a reason and always an excuse. The reason why I think they can be knocked off this year is because this offense has relied and is built upon Gronkowski, who is non-existent. That is the only reason. When push comes to shove, Tim, the last 5 or 6 years, right, and they're in a tough spot, tough position, 3rd and 12, what happens? Brady knows he could go to Gronk, and he doesn't have it this year. That's the reason why I think the Patriots can be knocked off. Do I think they will be? I can't bet against it until I see it. Until I watch it with my own eyes, I can't bet against it. But, Tim, there is reasons for it. We talk about reasons every year, but there's always the Brady Gronk. And there is no Brady Gronk this year. Gronk is just not himself.
Yeah, shell of a man so far. Let's go then. I think we're going to agree, right, Tom? So just off the top of our heads, without diving into it right now, just for show's sake, Colts pull the upset. Rams, Pats, Saints all win at home.
Okay. Colts pull the upset. Saints.
Rams. Pats.
Rams. Pats.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense.
Just
right?
Just straight up purposes. For straight up purposes, yeah.
I mean, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a very good argument. I mean, obviously, look, the lines makers think it. I think it's a very good argument that all four favorites win and win convincingly. All four home teams advance. I gave you guys the stat. I did this on Sports Garden Show here in New York, and I think I gave it to you guys last week. 11 of the last 12 Super Bowl participants have been number one seeds. The other one was a number two seed.
Yeah.
You know, so we can sit back and we can hope that the underdogs are going to win. We could wish for a 3-seed or a 6-seed or a 1-seed have made it to the Super Bowl 11 of the last 12 times. The other time was a 2-seed. We've had the favorites in the NFL run roughshod, which means Kansas City, New England, Rams, and the Saints are all smiling and looking good.
Let's look at some of these openings, and Tom, we saw on the day after Week 17 ended, you put out a tweet. Basically, half the league fired their head coaches, and now we're in the interview process. So, just some of the rumors you've heard. Now, I'll start with Tampa. It looks like Bruce Arians is coming back to the NFL. It looks like he's the front runner there.
I like Arians. I thought he got a bad rap. You know, I did. You look at what the general manager took a pretty decent roster and kind of screwed that up with the Richardson and everything else. I thought he got a bad rap, but I'm still not sure that he's not. Arians just isn't a product of the coaches he had around him. He had a great coaching staff, right? I'm not sure he's not a product of that great coaching staff.
But Arizona, I don't know if Steve Wilks actually got a fair run here. I think that this was a terrible, terrible decision. Even if he's not the guy, Tom, 1 year with a rookie quarterback, that wasn't necessarily fair. But Adam Gase's name has popped up as being the guy right now in the running on that one.
Well, I understand this. Look, I called Wilks the worst coaching hire of the offseason. I will call Adam Gase probably the worst coaching hire of this offseason. But I do understand the Adam Gase thing. Look, they drafted a kid in Josh Rosen who I told you I saw massive flaws in his game. I didn't like this kid. I think he's got a terrible makeup. I think he's got a terrible personality. But he's got a lot of skill. How do you hone that skill? Well, you get a guy like Adam Gase that is known as a quarterback guru to come in there. And you try to do that. I don't believe that the Arizona Cardinals are hiring Adam Gase and saying, this is the guy that's going to be with us in 5 years. I think they're hiring Adam Gase. Give us Rosen. Let us see if he is the guy. Let us see if we can progress with him. And if you have success with it, well, excellent. You're in a division with the Rams. You're in a division with Seattle. You're in a division with San Francisco and Garoppolo coming back. There can't be any hopes of you know, making the playoffs next year. Let's be real. So you want to do this next best thing, Tim. That's develop the young quarterback.
About in Denver, we're always the show. It's not the Broncos. It's John Elway. He gets rid of Vance Joseph after 2 years. Munchak, Pagano, and your guy, Fangio, all big names mixed in.
I think
there.
Fangio is going to be a dynamic coach in this league. I think whoever grabs him is going to be good. Munchak's getting a little overrated, but people I've spoken to from the Pittsburgh media are saying that he has exemplary grades across the bar. I mean, people are loving him. I don't necessarily agree with it, but you better do something right. Again, I thought Vance Joseph was a terrible hire. I just didn't think he was ready for the position. Now, if I'm Denver and I have that kind of history and that guy, I would just do everything in my power to go get a guy like David Shaw from Stanford. You know, I would do everything in my power to go get that type of guy to come here. I didn't like Joseph, and I don't like Wilkes. I don't think either one of them were head scratchers.
Jets Browns.
Who knows with the freaking Jets? Let me tell you something. I do this, you know, I get questions and calls every day with the Jets about who is it going to be. They are enamored with Mike McCarthy, and I like Mike McCarthy. He's a very good coach. I just don't think he's built for New York. And I don't think that the New York Jets need somebody that's a retread. I don't think that the New York Jets need somebody that is, you know, that hot assistant. I think that they need some fresh blood. Go get someone young. Lincoln Riley would have been great here. Go get someone young. But when I see who they're looking at, the kid, the guy from Iowa State, Campbell, I scratch my head. You know, so I think that the Jets are as confused as I am about who the next coach is. And I think it's probably going to wind up McCarthy, and if McCarthy doesn't go there, he's going to Cleveland.
Greg Williams, deserve that job? Should he keep the job?
Or yes. But they're going a different direction,
you think?
They will. I think it's ludicrous that they would take this job away from him after what he just accomplished. I think it's insane. Now, when he did get hired, I told everybody, I said, he's going to win some games, but there's no way they're giving him the franchise. I think it's a shame. It's a downright shame.
Last one, and we'll take a timeout for the hour. Packers, big franchise there as far as legacy, I guess.
Yeah, but nobody wants to work with Aaron Rodgers. I'm not just saying that because I don't like Rodgers. Clearly, I don't. But Pat Fitzgerald is the perfect guy to go there. Pat Fitzgerald is a massively talented head coach for Northwestern. You figure he doesn't want to stay his career at Northwestern. He's going to want to make the move up. Well, where does he go next? Well, the Packers would be he's right there. He's in their backyard, right? He would be that guy. He said, no, I'm not coming out now. The Packers have been spurned by a couple of coaches here where we thought maybe Lincoln Riley would go there. He said, no, I'm going back to school. So the Packers obviously want someone young. They obviously want someone from college. This is the problem when I said you can't fire McCarthy because you don't have a replacement. Packers are scrambling. Packers are scrambling right now. Well, don't be surprised if somebody like Adam Gase winds up there. You know, you don't need an offensive coordinator. You don't need, but they're looking offensive minded. They're looking young. I don't know. I don't know what the listen. If the Packers are smart, they'd go get Vic Fangio from the Bears. You know somebody in your division. You let the offense run around Rodgers, who apparently is calling his own plays anyway, right? And you just take control of the defense. That would be the smart hire. I don't think that the Packers organization is smart though.
Yeah, like you said, it's tough to go somewhere where you're not in charge. Think about that.
Yeah, very much so. We have a lot of dysfunctional organizations right now, and you have a lot of organizations where the top candidates are going to be able to pick. A guy like McCarthy is going to be able to pick from two or three spots, and then he decides, not the team, but he decides where he wants to go. It's a unique position that we're in with head coaching.
Two in the books. We got one more to go here on a Super Sunday night. We're going to roll into Monday morning with more football. We got a big championship game coming up. Clemson, Alabama again. Tom and I will break it down for you on the other side of the timeout. It's Heatwave Sports, Fox Sports Radio.